The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I will be your host for the hour, along with our visitor on the line, Mr. Al Foreman. Good morning, Al.
Well, good morning, Janet. Nice to hear your voice on this beautiful, clear, bright, sunny Wednesday before Thanksgiving Day. I know you must have plans for Thanksgiving, and I know that the people listening to the show on a regular basis probably all have plans for Thanksgiving as well. And I want to take the opportunity to wish everyone a very healthy, happy, and a satisfying Thanksgiving tomorrow. Hopefully they'll spend it with their family and friends, and they'll get to enjoy many hours of good conversation while they're having dinner and while they're having their desserts and while they're relaxing. And it seems that most people do relax a little bit, Janet, and I guess it's because of the amount of turkey with the amount of tryptophan that they're consuming in their body. But I do have one question that maybe we could talk about this morning, and that is the abundance of sugar. Now, we talked about sugar yesterday, and we've spoken about it on many different occasions. But do you think that too much sugar for Thanksgiving can really hurt a person's, not ability, but their ability to perform and function properly if they're overladen with too much sugar? I know you like to cook, and you are a superb cook, cooking many delicious meals. And maybe you can give our listeners today a little bit of an insight as to how you may decide that you want to prepare a Thanksgiving dinner, and how much sugar products that you would like to have or generally would have when you serve Thanksgiving dinner. So I'm listening for your approach.
If only you could see my face, Al. Okay, so I have a pretty weighty task in front of me. So I'll do my best to go down that path.
All right, we're going to be listening.
Okay, and I have a question for you.
Okay.
All right, how many people are going to be at your Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, I'm glad that you asked, because it is quite exorbitant. We're going to be 37 people.
Oh, my goodness.
And my wife, Paula, which is happens to be her holiday, where she enjoys cooking Thanksgiving dinner, started yesterday in the preparation. And she's left early this morning to be up at her daughter Elise's house, where we're having the Thanksgiving dinner. And she will be cooking today and tomorrow, because dinner is not called for until 5 o'clock on Thursday. So she would have spent 2.5 days or almost 3 days getting everything prepared so that the 37 people that are partaking of this festive holiday will enjoy everything that she is preparing and cooking.
Well, I know you're going to have a fabulous Thanksgiving dinner, and as you mentioned, most likely some really very nice conversation with all of those guests, and I know everything that Paula prepares will be absolutely delicious, so you enjoy and have a happy Thanksgiving, and as I said, I'll try and cover that path that you laid out for me.
All right, I know that you'll be able to do a great job because of all your experience.
And so, okay, so are you staying with us, or are you going to be a listener on the radio at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center?
I am staying with you for this segment because we're awaiting very large shipments of product to get put on the shelves so that we can have a wonderful opening on Monday, December 5th. The store is getting chock full of merchandise, and I want to make another point for our listeners. I think it would be wise if our listeners save some of their receipts from other purchases they made in other stores or other online sites, because we're very proud of the fact that we plan to have the lowest possible prices of anywhere in this particular area. And we do not ship. We're not doing online ordering or anything like that. You must come into the store to buy the product. And I encourage people to come in either with their laptops, their iPhones, smartphones, iPads, whatever they're using to check prices, because we're very proud of the fact that we have priced our products below the entire marketplace to give people the opportunity to be able to budget and save money and be able to use a lot of supplements they probably could not afford before. So if you're taking one supplement, you may be able to use two now or three. And for people that use more than five, like myself, it'll save you a whole lot of money that you may be able to use for entertaining at the end of the month. So I encourage people, when you come into shop on Monday, December 5th, to please bring in either receipts of past purchases or your electronic equipment to be able to check prices of other stores or online purchases. And again, it's Monday, December 5th. Next Monday, when I join you in the studio of WWNN Radio up in Boca Raton, Janet, we're going to make a special announcement as to what people can expect that first day when we open the doors at 9 o'clock at 3105 North State Road 7 in the Penn Dutch Plaza Shopping Center. So stay tuned. But I'm going to stay with you now so I can hear some of the things that you are looking to encourage for Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right. So we started out with a question from you with regard to, is there too much sugar in our Thanksgiving dinners? And here's my first response to that. I would say it's a holiday, and people can step off the straight and narrow. And I'm going to qualify that with the suggestion that people keep in their minds that they need to step right back on the straight and narrow. And what do I mean by the straight and narrow? Making sure that you have enough vegetables in your daily routine, making sure that your intake of processed carbohydrates is kept in a very, very reasonable level. And what do I mean by the processed carbohydrates? Well, the bread, rolls, biscuits, those kinds of things. And then when we're focusing primarily on Thanksgiving, careful with the stuffing. So Thanksgiving, relax and enjoy, but keep in mind that on the following days, to very much work yourself back into a high quality diet of quality protein, so the turkey, that's fabulous, and maybe depending on what ingredients are in your gravy, you might want to step back, hold back, be a little bit sparing with how much gravy you might apply to your mashed potatoes and to your turkey and so on. And so protein, the high quality protein. All right. So where are we starting our Thanksgiving dinner? Some nuts and a mix, Brazil nuts, pecans, walnuts, that kind of a mix. And then some really good cheeses. And what I have purchased is an array of different types of crackers. So rice crackers, spelt crackers, a lot of different types of grains, not just wheat, but I did include wheat crackers on my list. But what I did with regard to the cheeses are traditionally made cheeses. So cheeses that have been aged with specific microorganisms. And keep in mind, it's those different microorganisms that give each individual type of cheese their very special flavor. So for the most part, what I suggest for people is organic cheese choices from here in the United States, or possibly imported from Europe. So some of the cheeses that I have come from France and Germany and Denmark. And so that's one of the ways that we're going to start. And then, okay, traditionally, how are you going to have your turkey? Well, I'm going to have my turkey stuffed and roasted in the oven. But there are family members, I won't name names, who are going to have a fried turkey. Okay, so that's very popular now, deep frying a turkey. And the cooking process goes very, very much more quickly. And people who've never tasted a fried turkey, one of the things that they might be doing is rolling their eyes. How can you fry a turkey? And what does that do to how the turkey tastes? Well, very interestingly, because it's cooked so quickly, the fried turkey actually is quite juicy and tender and delicious. And so that's where we're starting. Now, I'm responsible just for the roasted turkey. Every other dish as part of the Thanksgiving dinner is being provided by different family members. But I am stuffing the turkey with family member's grandfather's stuffing recipe. So it's going to be a surprise to me because I don't know what's in that stuffing. And I believe the bread is homemade, and then all of the seasonings and so on are added to that. Then sweet potatoes. You can't have Thanksgiving dinner, in my opinion, without the sweet potatoes. So the children always request the sweet potatoes that have that layer of browned marshmallows on top. But there's the sweet potato with marshmallow combination for the kids. And of course, some of the adults go there too. That's a little bit too much sugar. So when we're dishing it out to the kids, the best way to do it, a good portion of the sweet potatoes and a little bit of that marshmallow topping. The plain sweet potatoes can be seasoned and made absolutely delicious, in my opinion, with cinnamon, vanilla extract, a variety of types of seasonings like that. And there are some family members who might consider adding a little bourbon to that sweet potato mix, keeping in mind that you, in the baking process, when you're making that sweet potato casserole, that alcohol essentially will be dissipated because of the heat. So there's a little bit of bourbon flavor, some cinnamon, some vanilla extract, and virtually no alcohol left. And then the other main component of that turkey dinner for Thanksgiving, cranberries. And of course, we do the whole fresh cranberries that are simmered and cooked. My opinion, how I used to do it would, and I'm not doing it this year, how I used to do it would be much, much less sugar, possibly a little bit of fruit juice, and simmered until all of those cranberries have just popped open, and less sugar than typically you'll find in a recipe, but absolutely delicious and sweet and tart enough as a perfect accompaniment to the turkey. A lot of times, one of the things that I'll do is a little bit of lemon juice. There's some fabulous Sicilian lemon juice that really makes a spark of flavor for pretty much any vegetable that you would add to it. I do see that it is time for us to take a break here on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. And that was my really quick rundown of the basics for your Thanksgiving dinner. We'll be right back after these messages. educational meetings, expert advice, information directed at achieving wellness rather than merely treating symptoms. This is just a glimpse of what you will find at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. If achieving health goals has been eluding you, discuss your health issues with me, Janet Cimarelli. Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center was founded on the principle that good health does not mean sacrificing your budget. Learn how we do things differently at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers. We concentrate our efforts on supporting wellness with the highest quality supplements at the very best of the best prices. Come save a lot of your money at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
You can find out more about the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers at this website, sav-a-lotnutritioncenters.com. See progress of the store coming together. Check in for pre-opening specials. Learn about EDLP, the unique saving opportunity of everyday low pricing. Want more information? Send an email to al@savealotnutritioncenters.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli. Don't forget, this hour of nutrition information is brought to you every Monday through Friday by the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Al, how do I do with that coverage of Thanksgiving dinner so far? Apparently, our visit with Al Foreman at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate, that visit has concluded. Okay, so just along those same lines, let's go to desserts. Okay. I think that starting the dinner with some nuts and seeds, so there's fiber, there's protein, there's fat, there's carbohydrates, so that whole profile of nutrition substance helps to kind of start the digestive process. The cheese and crackers, I guess I'm going to characterize that as a little bit grounding, so to speak, for your digestive process. And then each of the different components on your Thanksgiving dinner plate, I recommend that you have a balanced number of servings. So if you're a real fan of stuffing, go easy on the white mashed potatoes. If you are really loving those mashed potatoes, go a little easier on the stuffing. And certainly you can be very cautious with how much gravy, how much cranberry sauce you're adding to that plate, but make sure that you include all those vegetables. So sweet potatoes, if you're doing peas, if you're doing string beans, if you're doing whatever is your favorite vegetable. My memorable foray into adding a different vegetable to the Thanksgiving plate was many, many, many years ago when I decided to introduce parsnips. And I thought that with the butter and the seasoning that the parsnips were a very nice addition. And I'm sorry to say the family vote went in the other direction. So no more parsnips on our Thanksgiving dinner plate. And as I said, desserts, small servings are the way to go. And remember to have your digestive enzymes at the ready. after your Thanksgiving dinner, because typically our Thanksgiving dinners are heavier than we're accustomed to be consuming, and you may find that it's a little more difficult to digest all of those combinations, different combinations of food, larger portions probably than you usually have on a regular basis, and a variety of different types of carbs than you usually have on a regular basis. So I'll kind of close off that discussion of Thanksgiving dinner by saying bon appetit. Enjoy, relax, have a wonderful time with your family and friends, and enjoy all of that wonderful food, and be ready to go back to your health-supporting daily routine after Thanksgiving Day. Friday, you might be out doing your Black Friday shopping, so you might be working off some of that Thanksgiving meal. One of the things that I had prepared today was much more serious a discussion. So we started off, that was a very nice, light holiday note, and I'm going to say that it is kind of a segue into what I will be discussing now. And what it has to do with are the medications that very often send people to the emergency room. And it's astonishing, the numbers. When you look at the reports out of different organizations that monitor these types of things, the numbers are amazing. One in 250 Americans will visit an emergency room this year specifically for a medical related issue. So for a pharmaceutical medication that they are taking on a regular basis, that adverse event associated with that medication is serious enough to send an individual to the emergency room. And for older patients, there is a kind of different situation going on with older patients and their medications. Okay, so if you've been on the same medication for many years, there is still the possibility for possibly consuming something that would interfere with how your body's going to process that medication. And I'll just throw out there grapefruit juice. You have to be so careful with certain medications, because the grapefruit juice interferes with a liver enzyme that breaks down the medication at a specific rate. So here you've been taking this medication and your body is accustomed to the rate of breakdown, and you found the right dosage for you. Well, if you happen to consume grapefruit juice, the rate of breakdown might be much slower. Consequently, there's a possibility that the level of that pharmaceutical medication would be increased in your bloodstream. So, for many years, it's been the same three medications that seem to send people to the emergency room. What are they? Blood thinning medications. And so possibly if the blood thinner dose is a little bit too high, and I'll tell you one of the ways that I see blood thinners possibly creating a problem is for someone of slight stature, lower weight, and possibly a woman, that medication might have a more significant blood thinning effect than on a 200-pound, 6-foot-2 male. So, you know, taking into consideration the size, the age, and the gender of the person, very important with regard to dosing. So blood thinners, one of the things that I kind of caution my clients to be careful about is if you notice that your gums are bleeding and you have found that it's a, something that's beginning to happen, and possibly not even when you're brushing your teeth. You might see that your gums are bleeding. That is a pretty good indication that you really should speak to the prescribing physician and discuss that. And for sure, you need to be checking your prothrombin time, your PT time, and the INR. So those numbers on a blood test will give your physician the kind of indication that they would need to attend to dosing, either increase the dosing because the blood thinning is not sufficient, or reducing the dose because of bleeding gums, possibly bleeding at the slightest bump on your arms or legs. So be very cautious with blood thinners. They're one of the top three that for many, many years has contributed to adverse events serious enough to send a person to the emergency room. Interesting, the next one, I was very surprised. Adverse effects with antibiotics. And like the blood thinner caution would be for mostly older Americans, the antibiotic situation, this applies mostly to kids that for some reason, given the antibiotics, now you think about, okay, the child has been ill, possibly running a fever, and possibly dealing with the edge of dehydration. Well, if the antibiotic dose or particular antibiotic product is not the right one and leads to loose bowels or diarrhea, again, another issue with regard to the possibility of dehydration. Now, I'm supposing that is the issue with the antibiotics, particularly for kids, because the little stature can lead to dehydration relatively quickly, particularly if the child is dealing with a fever. So those are the two out of three. And after this break here on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour, I'll give you the third one and we'll talk some more about what you can do working with your physician to possibly address these issues with natural substances. Stay tuned. More to come.
Concerned about your health and the health of your family? Tune every weekday morning to Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. Janet Cimarelli will be available for nutrition counseling sessions at Save a Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The store will be opening in November, and she'll keep you updated on the construction progress. Located at 3105 State Road 7 in Margate, in the PennDutch Center.
Health and happiness are high priority, but so is the health of your budget. That's where Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers addresses all of your health and nutrition needs with EDLP. Everyday low pricing. No need to wait around for special sales. Every day of every week, you can find the health-supporting items you have come to rely on at the prices that fit your pocketbook. Info at SaveALotNutritionCenters.com. And welcome back. Just a reminder, this is the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour, and you can listen to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11. And if your reception is kind of at the edge of the reception area on 1470 AM, you can try 95.3 FM. And then if you'd like the convenience of listening live on your computer, WWNNradio.com is the place to go. And if 10 to 11 is not a convenient hour for you, you can go to SaveALotNutritionCenters.com, and all of these Save a Lot Nutrition Hour Shows are archived by date and subject on the SaveALotNutritionCenters.com. Now, keep in mind, I had a call this morning, and the question was, did you know that there is this company that is Save-A-Lot? And I said, yes, indeed. However, it is spelled differently. So if you're looking for Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers, it's S-A-V-A-L-O-T. There's no E in there, and it's all one word, Save-A-Lot. S-A-V-A-L-O-T. And so that Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center store is opening December 5th. Now, keep in mind, this coming Monday, the Monday after Thanksgiving weekend, Al Foreman will be joining us, and he will be making an incredibly special announcement. So be sure to tune in to the show the Monday after Thanksgiving, and that's just 1 week before the opening of the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. And keep in mind, EDLP, that's the place where you are going to save your money. So supplement choices that you might have thought were out of your budget range, ooh, think again when you see the savings at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Okay, I said that I would come back to my discussion about medications that send people to the ER. And this is the one that I think is appropriate to discuss now before the holiday of Thanksgiving, and certainly before this entire holiday season. So Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas parties, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, all of those foods that you're not typically including in your diet on any kind of a regular basis. Certainly, as Al Foreman mentioned earlier in the show, the very high levels of sugar that we're likely to be partaking of during this holiday season. And one of the medication areas that is part of these visits year after year after year, visits to the emergency room, have to do with insulin. And I'm thinking, well, you know, people who are diabetic and using insulin, they know very well how they feel. They know what the dose is. They know how to time their dosing and so on. But what seems to happen is that sometimes they forget to eat. Sometimes for one reason or another, the wrong dose is administered. And possibly, too much insulin or not enough food, whatever the reason might be, blood sugar drops too low, and it's possible to have the blood sugar drop so low that you might pass out, and that would lead possibly to a fall. And, so the consequences are very serious. So my suggestions to those individuals who are using insulin to control their blood sugar, be very mindful of the timing of your meals. Be very mindful of the amounts that you're eating and what you're choosing. And certainly if there is more sugar in your routine over the holidays, be very cautious with regard to that. So checking your blood sugar levels, monitoring those levels, possibly keeping a diary, because sometimes with so many different things happening around us, we think we're going to remember, but for one reason or another, you get interrupted and that memory doesn't get stored properly. So be very, very careful during the holiday season with your dosing, with your eating, and so on. Now, keeping in mind, if you are someone who regularly exercises, and that is part of your routine of blood sugar management, and during the holidays, your routine might be interrupted. And once again, that is an important factor to consider with regard to dosing, that yes, you're off your regular exercise routine, and that does have an impact on the stability of your blood sugar. Now, here's one that I do understand, and it is very much related to the food choices that we make, and it pertains mostly to older patients. 60% of the visits to the emergency room with a person over the age of 60 happen to be related to opioid painkillers. And you think, well, you know, why? What's going on here? And I will kind of go back to the intake of sugar, possibly the intake of alcohol. What can very well be going on with these patients is because of the more significant intake of sugar, desserts and alcohol, those things are going to lead to more significant inflammation. With that greater inflammation would be patients reaching for painkillers, both prescription and over-the-counter painkillers. And again, when we are trying to do things that are out of our daily routine, when we're trying to do a little bit too much here and too much there, when our food intake has changed and you're dealing with very painful, uncomfortable joints because of the inflammation, if you're trying to relieve that discomfort because you have so many things on your agenda for that day, so many places to go, people to see, all good things, but possibly you might be hobbled, so to speak, because of inflammation and swelling because of sugar and alcohol intake. So be very cautious with when you're reaching for those painkillers. So here's a very specific caution for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that you're purchasing over the counter. If you're consuming alcohol, the combination of that non-steroidal anti-inflammatory over-the-counter drug and the alcohol puts an incredible strain on your liver, and that can be a very negative situation. You don't want to damage your liver. So if you're planning on being able to access your non-steroidal anti-inflammatory over the course of the holidays, because you may be eating differently, because you're not in your usual routine, possibly because you're not taking in enough water, a lot of those reasons that you might want to be reaching for a painkiller, well, make the decision, no alcohol when you are expecting to use or expecting to need a painkiller. And certainly the opioids for those over the age of 60, very cautious to follow specifically the instructions from your physician and be really cautious about your intake of sugar and alcohol. So important for people to understand that there are a variety of tools. There's an organization called Safe Medication Practices that you can Google that will give you a number of different ideas about how to minimize the possibility that you might ever be dealing with an adverse event from your pharmaceutical medication or from over-the-counter medications. So another area, this is the cold and flu season. So you might be reaching for an antihistamine. You might be reaching for something to minimize the symptoms associated with a cold, sore throat, or flu. Please be very aware of the listing of contraindications on those packages. The contraindications may include people who are using blood pressure lowering medications. So the ingredients in the cold and flu medications may very well contribute to an increase in blood pressure. So here's this kind of stew, almost, unusual foods, unusual routines. You're out of your routine, and you are possibly reaching for a medication to minimize some symptoms. And so, very important to keep in mind all of those approaches, and you're going to stay safe over the holidays. I do have a caller. I am so happy to have a caller. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I am just fine, and I'm very excited to have a caller. And years ago, when we used to do these radio shows, the phone lines would be lit up, and I'd have lots of company on the show. So tell me, what is the reason for your call?
I'm just wondering, I heard that if you take an NAC with the NSAIDs, it kind of helps to shield your kidneys and your liver.
Absolutely. That is very, very, very true. However, I think so many times NAC, N-acetylcysteine, is not necessarily right handy, and so it's an incredibly important suggestion for people to consider having N-acetylcysteine, NAC is what they'll see on the label, in their homes, because it will absolutely protect your liver from an adverse event. So, awesome. Thank you for that reminder.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Have a nice holiday.
Okay. You have a wonderful Thanksgiving, too. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mom, that was such an important bit of information that, yes, indeed, for a variety of different issues, you can truly protect your liver with the acetyl version, N-acetylcysteine. NAC is what you'll see on the label. It is a liver protector. And in a number of different emergency facilities for different types of toxicity, alcohol poisoning, and pharmaceutical poisonings, NAC is absolutely an effective substance to overcome that poisoning aspect and to support and protect the liver function. And one of the other things that NAC does is it is a mucolytic. So with the NAC, you can help with stuffiness and mucus production in dealing with a head cold. So fabulous substance to be taking, and I thank Robert very much for that reminder. It's time for us to take a break here on the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I will be right back with more. Stay tuned. Mr. Al Foreman and his team are working very hard to stock the Save a Lot Nutrition Center with the best supplements, the best beauty care, the best organic groceries, but the best of the best is the prices. EDLP, everyday low prices. We invite you to come and see what we're creating for you, the savvy health food shopper. Come see us at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in Margate, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655.
Health and happiness are high priority, but so is the health of your budget. That is where Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers addresses all of your health and nutrition needs with EDLP. Everyday low pricing. No need to wait for special sales. Every day of the week, you can find the health-supporting items you have come to rely on at the prices that fit your pocketbook. Want more? Go to info@savealotnutritioncenters.com.
And welcome back. You're tuned to the Save A Lot Nutrition Hour. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I just want to let everybody know that come December 5th, the doors open at the Save A Lot Nutrition Center, and I will be available at the Save A Lot Nutrition Center to do individual consultations in a very private setting in my office. And the address, 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Plaza. So if you have any questions about your blood work, if you have any questions about symptoms you're dealing with, if you have any questions about medications that you're using or medications that you're combining, if you're dealing with certain health issues and you want to discuss possible dietary changes, possible supplements to get the very best effect for your particular health challenge, I am there at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Opening December 5th. Doors open December 5th. Keeping in mind that consultations with me at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center are absolutely free of charge. You can call the store and make an appointment, and I will be there, no charge, to review your blood work, review your health challenges, review your supplement program, and possibly review your diet. All of those things to be covered if you come into the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center and sit down with me. Okay, I was talking about emergency room visits. So 1.3 million ER visits every year, and those ER visits due to adverse drug events. And so they did this research and compiled the numbers and were able to focus on which of the health issues and pharmaceuticals that tended to cause the most problem. And interestingly, they also studied supplements, they studied homeopathic remedies, and they studied vaccines. But none of that information was made available in this report. I found that kind of surprising. So when you see 1.3 million ER visits due to adverse drug events, and you think about, let's go extrapolate from that, how many people had an adverse drug event but didn't take themselves to the ER? They just dealt with it and recovered. Amazing, amazing information. And then when you try to find out about adverse events from vaccines, not so easy. And certainly there's a lot of talk with regard to FDA managing the supplement and homeopathic remedy industries, and they didn't find it reasonable to include that data in the report. I just found that very interesting. And so many times you'll see in mainstream media the information that supplements are not regulated by the FDA, and oh yes, they are, and yes, indeed, the manufacturing facilities are inspected, and the manufacturing facilities are expected to maintain certain quality manufacturing procedures. So I certainly have dealt with clients who may have had no response to a supplement. So a supplement that I might have recommended, and typically I would find success with that supplement used to overcome a particular problem. And then maybe I had someone, and let's say the supplement was magnesium, and the individual, even though I began with a very low dose of magnesium, they still experienced some digestive discomfort. Very interesting. But possibly choosing a different form of magnesium, keeping in mind you want to be really careful with the magnesium oxide. Magnesium oxide is going to have the most harsh effect on your digestive system, possibly causing loose bowels or even more serious, a diarrhea response. So one of the ways to find out and help me with regard to the proper dose and proper form of magnesium for you would be if you were to have your red blood cell magnesium tested, RBC magnesium. And that, if you're doing a serum magnesium test, doesn't give me the kind of information really to make an informed suggestion. But red blood cell magnesium level would be a very good guide with regard to working on your magnesium level and minimizing the possibility of an adverse response. It's interesting because some individuals might not have an entirely satisfactory response with different probiotics. They, okay, here's one situation. The probiotic led to stomach discomfort, bloating, just not a good digestive response. And you think, well, how could that be? Because probiotics are so health supporting. Probiotics are going to create that right digestive system chemistry, so you won't have discomfort. You won't have bloating. But my response to individuals who've had difficulty in finding a probiotic that actually works and does not create an adverse event: you may very well have been on some pharmaceutical, most likely an antibiotic, and that pharmaceutical seriously disrupted beneficial chemistry in your lower digestive tract, and consequently negative forms of microorganisms have overgrown their habitat. So there's too many of the bad guys, not enough of the good guys. When you add the good guys into your daily routine, excellent, excellent benefit, because you're reestablishing that correct chemistry. But it might take a little bit of a battle to reduce the bad guy's position and, again, reestablish that beneficial probiotic support in the gut. And so here's my take on an adverse event associated with a probiotic. If you are dealing with a negative response to the probiotic that you're using, I would suggest beginning with probably 1/10 the amount of the dose that you had been using. So using just a tiny sprinkle, you can open a capsule, put it in a little bit of food, and you're introducing that into your digestive system. And then the next dose, a little bit more. So let's say over the course of about 3 days, you're introducing the probiotic and getting to the first level dose. Then being at that one a day, let's say one capsule per day dose for a while, and you think you want to do a little bit more to enhance your health and well-being, because keep in mind that proper probiotic chemistry in your gut is the first part of how your immune system responds. So very, very important to maintain that probiotic presence, and you'll be supporting your immune system. But if you have a negative response the first time, go to 1/10 the dose, and then very gradually over 3 or 4 days, increase it to a one a day dose. I am out of time on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. You have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, and I will be back on Monday with more Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour information. Happy holiday. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP, coming soon to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.